All right. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Coming up, we got Rick Harrow, our business insider.
Oh, I've played it before, Pete. You know the answer to this question. You're going to say, who is this?
I know. It's Gary Glitter, right?
No.
Not Gary Glitter. It's, no, you're right. It's... I forget.
Black Keys.
Oh.
Black Keys.
He knew that.
Yeah.
You know how
piano has white keys and black keys?
Yeah.
These are the Black Keys.
I like the tune. What's the name of it?
Howlin' for You.
Howlin' for You.
Ow.
Snappy tune.
Mm.
All right, tonight we got some Thursday night football. 7:30 brought to you by Twin Peaks right here. Steelers and Browns, 99.3 ESPN.
Got the full story of why Antonio Callaway was cut. He got cut because, first of all, he was late for practice again this Tuesday, Mary Kay Cabot is reporting and confirmed by many. Late for practice Tuesday because of the little mini blizzard they had. But also, he's been suspended 10 games for 2 failed drug tests, but he's awaiting word on his appeal.
Callaway
used a CBD edible product over the summer to deal with pain from his high ankle sprain. The product was not supposed to contain THC, the active substance.
Pain, huh?
Pain.
The active substance of marijuana, but it was tainted.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Actually, Callaway was suspended the first 4 games of the season for violating the NFL substitute policy, tested positive twice for THC from the CBD.
This was the guy who
in
got,
August.
Remember
small,
Florida.
Small amounts. One was for 15 nanograms over the limit, and the other was for 40 grams over
a
the limit.
A nanogram?
15 nanograms.
Is that a lot or a little?
A little.
Okay.
I'm going to have to defer.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm not up to nanograms.
Star Trek
used
that
term. Not much of my life happens in nanogram quantities.
No, yes. Not a lot.
The NFL, the Browns, and Callaway all know. Now, no, the product was tainted. Apparently, he didn't think it was.
Baloney. I don't believe that for a second.
And this is a guy with a history at Florida.
But the Browns lost their patience and said,
Browns.
Bye-bye.
He got pulled over going, 90 and a 45 his rookie training camp when they had Hard Knocks. Didn't he have weed in the car, or am I imagining that part?
No, I think he did.
I thought he had weed in the car.
So in addition to being late for the game last week, he was about 9 minutes late for practice on Tuesday when there was a snowstorm in Cleveland and accidents all over the highway.
Well, that could happen.
A short drive to work from a nearby suburb took him more than 45 minutes.
Liar.
You got a plan for that.
He wasn't the only one late because of the weather, according to her source.
Got to plan
for that.
All right. Coming up, Rick Harrow and more on tonight's game between the Steelers and the Browns. But first, it's time for a SportsCenter Rundown. Here's Chris.
Well, Craig and Pete pretty much filled you up on everything that's happening today. You might have missed that Memphis has declared freshman 5-star center James Wiseman ineligible and will withhold him from games. And the star basketball freshman has withdrawn his lawsuit against the NCAA. Blades are in action tonight. They take on the Solar Bears in Orlando. And Thursday night football, Cleveland hosts the Steelers. Coverage starts at 8 o'clock on 99.3 ESPN.
239 says 15 nanograms is like a nugget of bud.
That's a small amount.
What's bud?
Weed. Marijuana.
Like how much is a bud?
The devil's lettuce.
What's a bud?
Shut up.
No, it's like...
It's Jimmy Swaggart over here. Who's Jimmy Swaggart? Go look it up.
He knows.
He doesn't know.
Preacher. Chris is wadding up a piece of paper in an effort to show me how much a bud is.
Maybe that's too small.
Really?
Wait, he got busted for that, huh? I thought that much is like legal in
that
like
much
every state.
That much over the legal limit.
You wouldn't put the bud if you're rolling, right? Don't you have to smush it?
Yeah, you have to break it up.
Yeah.
I have no idea what the two of you are discussing.
But like you carry it around in the bud form.
In a baggie?
Yeah.
Baggie.
Dime bag?
You know.
Box.
Am I using the right terminology? Dime bag?
I don't know.
What's a dime bag?
It's a little plastic. You know those sandwiches? You know what you have every day you bring your sandwich?
Yes.
That's it.
That's a dime bag.
That's all.
No,
I have a sandwich in a dime
bag. Well, it's in there. It's the amount of weight. It's the amount of weight.
It's not a bag.
It's put in the same sort of sandwich bag.
You know what? I'm sure Rick Horrell will have the answer to these questions. Let me ask him.
Now, why don't we say Danny Dimes? What are we saying? Danny Dime bag?
Oh gosh, no! He's throwing dimes.
He's throwing dimes. Touchdowns, interceptions. He's throwing weed to his receivers. Is that what you're telling me?
No,
that sounds wasteful.
Yeah. That's marijuana abuse. Wolverine 941, yeah, we'll do it. Can you give a shout-out to Port Charlotte Bandits, 10-under football team, moving on to the second round of the regionals in Miami this weekend, Pop Warner Football. Yeah.
All right.
Good job, Port Charlotte Bandits. Go get them.
Good job. Way to go. All right.
Oh, that song was in Deadpool. Oh, okay.
And right on cue, all of our weed experts are texting
absolutely.
In.
We got a lot of them.
By the way, text party, save the date. It is December 21st. We made the announcement yesterday on the date. It will be in Bonita.
Yep.
But and we do know the location. We're not going to tell you yet. We're going to kind of slowly leak out the information. Mm-hmm. All right. Without any further delay.
Secrete
the information? I don't like how that sounds. Here's Rick Harrell, our sports business insider, with an odd introduction. Rick, how are you?
Hey, Rick.
Normal people don't use the word secrete in any conversation. Right? Well, just so you guys know, I don't know what you just were talking about. Whatever it is, I don't want to know about it.
Well, this isn't a normal show, as you know. So.
No. This is perfect. I meant it as a compliment.
Of course.
I didn't mean it as anything negative. So I was at the, did some media today, and I asked a lot of people around the country, you would know it because of geography, where the Yuengling Center is, And I was there at Yuengling Arena. I was there last night to watch Ooey Pooey beat up on USF, who played hard but couldn't shoot.
That's IUPUI for those who don't know.
Yeah.
All right.
Nobody knows.
Yeah.
Everybody knew the Sun Dome, but nobody knows this iteration.
No.
Just saying.
It's all good. You go to all kinds of games everywhere across the country.
Well, time out. Here we go. Let me real quick, because I know it's your time. I'll do it fast. I'm sitting here in the parking lot of to see the Panthers and Winnipeg Jets that came across the state. And tomorrow night we got a soccer game. We got men's Canada, men's U.S. in Orlando. And then I've not done it yet. My bucket list life's getting short, so I'm going to go to the Stetson Davidson football game in DeLand on Saturday. And be home for Saturday night's games. What a bizarre menu, right?
Yeah. Stetson Davidson football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have broadcasted basketball.
Not Auburn, Georgia, but Stetson Davidson.
Yeah, not Auburn, Georgia. No, but Auburn, Georgia, even though it's only like a half an inch on a very large map, it would take a while to get there. I can go to Stetson. I was looking at what I want to see that gets me home by dinner, and that's it.
All right. That sounds very reasonable. What is your assessment of this Colin Kaepernick workout? You know how the NFL works and the commissioner, and you know the commissioner. What is the reason for this? Because the way it came together and the reason it's coming together now, something isn't adding up. What is your assessment of this Saturday workout for Colin Kaepernick for all teams who are invited?
And here's the perspective. I've been doing some media, and that's usually the first or second question from people. And half the people are absolutely sure it's a conspiracy and Nike under the table. The other half is Roc Nation and, his agent under the table. And the bottom line is it might all be collaboration. I'm not sure that it's worth the risk if I'm Nike. And the reason I say that, it's because, what if he's not signed? What if his workout isn't great? He's a cult hero in a very small niche right now. And the start of a movement that was successful in generating some significant dollars for social causes from the NFL. But that success really didn't have a lot to do with on-field behavior. It had a lot to do with on-field stuff. And he's been out of that game for 3 years. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, I don't believe it's the NFL putting this all to bed by giving him a chance to make sure that he's a laughingstock in front of everybody so nobody signs him. I don't think that's true. I think he probably wants one shot. I think he talked to his agent about it, and I think he talked to Nike about it, and I think that's the way it all came together. But my point to your second question would be, I'm not sure it's worth the risk.
Hmm. And then, it certainly seems like the Kaepernick camp was waiting for some information on exactly who was going to be there. They were expecting it, and the NFL said, no, we told you we weren't giving you any information, blah, blah, blah. Hugh Jackson's going to lead the drills now with Joe Philbin standing by. Apparently some of the receivers, they finally got a hold of some people that can catch the football. out there. 11 of the 32 teams are going. And then the NFL releases a bogus statement after I was ripping them a couple of hours ago because it wasn't even on their webpage. And they release a statement, and they talk about, Rick, you know, the 11 teams are going to be there, blah, blah, blah. And my favorite part was, and it's only, this is in the statement, and it's only Thursday with 2 days remaining until the workout. I mean, I don't know. It sounds like something you write for sixth graders at recess. It's laughable. This whole thing is a dog and pony show. It's laughable.
Yeah, well, that, you know, that sounds like Nike or an agent. It doesn't sound like the way the NFL would do the context of a release. Mm. But again, I'm not, you know, I might be wrong about a lot of stuff, but I usually don't talk about things I don't know a lot about. And the behind the scenes on this one, I don't know a lot about, nor does anybody else. Mm. So, you know, the fact that only 11, but by the way, it's only Thursday.
Yeah. Exactly.
Rick Haro is with us. All right, Rick, the other story that I'm just fascinated with is Memphis basketball and Penny Hardaway and James Wiseman, who may be the number one pick in the draft next year. The NCAA says, hey, this guy's probably ineligible. You shouldn't be playing him. Penny Hardaway last week says, well, to heck with you. We're going to file an injunction. We're going to play him anyway and kind of thumb their nose at the NCAA. Now, all of a sudden, the lawsuit by James Wiseman has been dropped, and now the NCAA. I don't know which way this story is going, but I've never seen anybody just kind of thumb their nose at the NCAA the way Penny Hardaway hit Memphis. And by the way, his school president was supporting him at the time. I've never seen anything like this before. How is this going to play out?
Well, it was funny because I was on Drive Time with the Mad Dog, which is kind of their key. The Memphis guys and a couple of their talk radio in Memphis who were railing against the NCAA yesterday and wanted me to kind of stack up against the normal way to go, which is the NCAA is terrible, let's disband it. And my comment was, this is going to be done in a back room, unlike 2 or 3 years ago, because the perfect storm. I think the NCAA needs to be viewed as a reasonable peacemaker for a lot of things coming down the pipe. If they want to control the endorsement money allocation process, which is coming front and center over the next couple of years, they've got to gain credibility. And one of the things you don't do is have a set of facts that looks like that and then give some, you know, unreasonable answer that really upsets people in Memphis. That doesn't mean the NCAA won't do that, because that's what they've done in the last few years across the board, and consistency hasn't been a strong suit. But I said the way this is going to be resolved, it's going to be negotiations, and you'll see how it's all structured in a way where a few years ago they wouldn't have done that, because I think they are in new search of some credibility because of things that they need to do down the road. And candidly, I think that's what's happening. It's not that I called it. I just think that the NCAA is realizing that for them to stay relevant in the next few years, they got to look more reasonable.
I think the hysterical thing about it is their attorneys are Ballin, and Fishman.
Yeah,
I mean,
good names.
That's unbelievable.
That's really good. Now they're going to go get, you know, those guys after they're successful. They're going to go get the Ball family out of Australia and bring them. So it's ball.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
But do you think, though, that other institutions in the near future may try to test the NCAA again, though, by going to court to get some kind of temporary restraining order, whatever injunction, whatever they need to do?
Well, if the facts are reasonable, people can kind of understand that this wasn't somebody that deliberately was, you know, trying to get fat and happy or – The way this looks, and again, who knows, but the way this looks is that this was a fairly innocent opportunity for a coach to kind of help a kid. And we're going to have to figure all of that stuff out down the road. Now we're creating precedents that are going to impact what happens later on the endorsement stuff, right? Because now the big-time schools can say, come to me, and we're going to give you more endorsement income because you're going to be in a bigger market. Plus, we're going to give you a bigger cut, or you're going to get a bigger cut, and we're not going to want a piece. So, you know, that. So from now, the answer is, from now till the endorsement rules are set, we're all going to think about setting precedents and setting examples.
Rick, you and I may have some more interest in the Indianapolis Motor Speedway than most other people, but, you know, I grew up there. The Holman George family had owned it for 70 years. They just sold the track and the IndyCar Racing League to Roger Penske. I can't imagine what the price tag was. I haven't heard it or read it anywhere. I was curious if you know.
No, it was private transactions, but when NASCAR tried to roll up ISC, who is their track entity and their licensing entity and all of that, it was billions. So this is billions, and it's the league, the real estate. It's pretty good real estate in Speedway, Indiana, as you know. And it's history, it's legacy, it's a sponsorship deal, it's a bunch of cars, but it's much more than that. So it's a big change that's been going on for a while quietly, and this is the right time to announce it in the offseason.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Rick, thanks as always for coming on. Enjoy that Stetson game,
yes.
And we will talk to you next week.
If I recover from all this, we'll talk next week.
Okay, very good. All right, Rick Hoare, our sports business guru. If you want to talk about anything that we talked about, it's all on the table at 239-337-ESPN.
You're not Penske material.
I'm not? Why am I not Penske material?
Remember Seinfeld?
Yes.
Okay,
I do.
He's not Penske material.
I don't think there's a single Seinfeld reference that could be made that Craig wouldn't catch.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Sure.
And I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
It's a very good thing.
Maybe. Maybe.
I'm on top of it.
Maybe.
Do you have a show that you're like? You're getting a little sleepy-eyed right now. You're hitting a 5:30 low right now.
No, I'm solid.
Yeah.
Hanging in there.
I can see it.
No.
All right.
Get into your so who'd you pick
for tonight?
Yeah, you're staying up late?
I'm going with the Steelers tonight.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? 2 point? How is it a 2 point? It's three now. I'm not going to be that guy. Well, if I wanted it at two, I won't take it at three.
Love the game at 2.5. Not touching it at three. Shut up.
Yeah.
About the NBA.
The NBA? Which
game? You staying up late? Nets Nuggets tonight?
Oh, no? Nets Nuggets.
10:30 TNT.
I would have to have a problem to be staying up.
Well, we have established that you
We've established you have a problem.
You do have a problem.
Hello, my name is Craig.
Oh, I'm a 12-step guy now?
No, they do that at all the meetings, right?
When I called
for
you
for GA,
when you picked up the other day, when I called you, you just answered and said, "I'll take the under." So I mean, it's something's going on.
Yeah,
Jimmy, I said the under.
I was on a pretty hard roll for about three straight weeks, 7 days a week.
We call those benders.
Earlier this week, I took a couple days off. I needed to just decompress. First of all, I was on a bit of a down streak, and I was starting to
lose. Who's down
$3? I was starting
to lose
money.
$3.
I was starting to lose money.
$3.
I didn't like how it felt. I mean, one night I went to bed after a loss, and I just sat there in bed, just balled up, like in my stomach, like, dang it. And
it was
just,
over a buck.
Yeah, it was that much. I'm like, man, I should have gone the other way.
Are you kidding me?
And it was eating at me to the point where I'm like, I need to take a night off and not worry about games and not wake up in the morning and see what I missed on the West Coast and all that.
$1.
So
a dollar, you're gonna get an ulcer.
So I'm back.
Unbelievable, Craig.
Why is that unbelievable?
It's crazy to me.
Yeah,
lunacy.
Well,
I gave you Western Michigan today, so hopefully you supplemented your bankroll there a little bit.
Yeah, but then you gave it away for me when you talked me into going against Northwestern last night.
Well,
dominated.
They did. Well, Providence shot 0-for-13 to start the game. It was
awful. That's part of the loss.
Well, but even in the tees, I couldn't believe Villanova got shellacked. I mean, they were down early
at Ohio State.
Just blew them off the floor.
You know, I tried
last
to give you Kosovo +1 against the Czech Republic. That was a push.
Did they tie? Yeah,
it was a push.
Czech Republic 1-1.
Was that the game we were forced to be watching earlier today?
Yeah. Yeah. That barn burner.
Well, every time I look over, you're doing a fist pump or something. I'm like, it was distracting.
Man,
so what's going on with the show right now? Chris is like double pumping.
There was more than one Skittle on the line.
Really? Well, you get it all back. It's a push.
It's a push.
Like kissing your sister. If you had one.
No, that's a loss.
That's a loss?
Kissing your sister is an absolute loss.
Yeah. Yeah.
Incredible texture, like in Trading Places. Yes, $1.
$1.
I have a list afterwards. I told you. NFL list. It's a good list.
I mean, it's either that or run down some sound on Baker Mayfield for tonight's game. I could do a list.
Yeah.
Tease me. What is the list?
It's an NFL list that I think you will enjoy.
Really?
And you'll be able to guess at it.
Oh, All right.
I've got a fun fact on starting quarterbacks and their age in this weekend's NFL slate as well.
Well, it sounds like we have a lot to look forward to. Stay with us.
Just a nugget.
Don't forget Thursday night football tonight. I said Thursday, right?
Yeah, you did. Good job,
7:30,
Craig.
7:30, brought to you right. by Twin Peaks. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. And the 99.3 ESPN app on a Thursday. That means Thursday night football. It's right around the corner. In fact, pregame starts in 2 hours. It's brought to you by Twin Peaks. It's Steelers and Browns. All right, Pete, I know you've got a list.
Dude.
Chris, you've got some fun fact stats.
Just a nugget.
A little nugget?
All right,
like a dime nugget thingy that we were talking about earlier?
What do you want to do first, my list or your nugget?
Your list comes with production value, with the music.
Okay.
That always gets me going.
Well, I was just going to throw the nugget out because,
yeah,
Craig, you know
out.
The nugget. I'm just going to ask Pete the question.
Okay.
All right.
So of the projected 32 starting quarterbacks this weekend,
yep.
How many are under the age of 27?
Ooh, I'm just...
Remember, 32 teams.
Yep. Under the age of 27?
Keep in mind, you love that stat about Tom Brady and
the young quarterbacks.
Quarterbacks 40. Under 25.
No, I know. Half?
18.
18, yeah.
18
a lot.
Starting
more
quarterbacks.
Than, more than half.
It's a lot.
Yeah. 18.
That bodes well for the league, right?
Well, some have been forced into because of injury.
Yeah, I mean, I can run through some of the names. But
like your backup to Stafford.
Is Mason Rudolph starting a good thing for the league? No.
No.
Ben Roethlisberger's out. Is Ryan Finley starting? No,
like
that's
I
not
like
a good
Mason,
thing for
though.
The league.
I like Mason.
No, I do as well. But
he's got better numbers than.
But is it a good thing for Mason Rudolph to be in the league, or is it a good thing for Ben Roethlisberger
I
to be in
you.
The league?
Big Ben.
But I'll tell you what, you can make a case. Mason's playing better than Baker Mayfield.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Yes.
In fact, I would say that's factual.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's eliminate his first game when he was thrust in there.
Oh, yeah.
No, yeah. And I'm just looking at recent form.
Yeah.
Or thinking about it, I should say.
Oh. I like him.
Well, we'll certainly be able
to. Yeah, we'll see. Because, you know, I'm looking at talent, and Baker clearly has the better weapons.
No doubt he has better weapons, but he's not utilizing them.
Mason has a much better coaching staff behind him.
Much better.
Much better. Probably a better offensive line as well.
Yeah.
He managed to get 11 touchdowns and 4 picks and 1,330 yards. That's pretty damn good.
Look,
no, I know.
I think that the Steelers believed that they found the heir apparent to Ben Roethlisberger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's got something.
If they go to the playoffs with him this year, do they say goodbye to Ben Roethlisberger in this day and age of NFL where these things happen?
I lean no. I think it depends how it looks. Because they are leaning heavily on that defense.
Yeah.
That defense has been...
Minka Fitzpatrick.
Very good.
Defensive player of the year.
Not just him, though.
Yeah. One of them.
One of them right
not
now.
Not just him, though.
No, they're a good team. I mean, they're playing well, and they play well against the Steelers.
How many turnovers does Baker have tonight? Over, under?
At least two.
I'll say one.
I'm going to say two. Yeah. Maybe not necessarily both interceptions,
right.
But I will say two.
You know, that defense with Devin Bush, the rookie linebacker, he's a stud. Mm-hmm. Bud Dupree is coming on this year. Mm-hmm. Minka's been a fantastic acquisition for them.
Not bad.
Fantastic.
Nice decision. All right. Now, with that, Pete Shepherd, do we have a list?
Yeah, I do have a list.
Is it a quiz?
No. Well, yeah, it's sort of a quiz. Yeah, but yeah, it's sort of a quiz. Yep.
All right.
And now, a list.
Hit me!
If you've seen this list, Chris, don't say it.
I haven't seen any list today.
All right. Most catches, it's NFL, and I have eight players here. Most catches without a drop this season.
So this is a wide receiver category.
Yes.
I know Michael Thomas had a fantastic streak last year, but I thought I remembered him dropping a ball earlier this year. But I'll say Michael Thomas.
Michael Thomas is number one.
Okay.
86 without a drop. There's seven more. Top eight here.
Is there a fluke on there like an Odell Beckham Jr. who just hasn't had a lot of targets, but he hasn't dropped any.
No, he's
anybody
dropped
like that?
Plenty.
He has?
No. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not on this list, by the way.
Okay.
I'm on sure-handed wide receivers like Julian Edelman.
He's had a couple drops.
Has he?
Yes. Yeah, he's always
good. I prefer not to watch that team.
Not usually. He had one drop across the first down against Baltimore, but he also had a fumble.
Very specific.
Are there any Miami Dolphins on that list?
No.
Okay.
Any Detroit Lions on the list?
No.
Chris Godwin.
Chris Godwin is second with 60.
Look at that. Look at that.
Yep.
People.
Chris Godwin is second.
See, normally you'd say DeAndre Hopkins, but I saw him drop a couple this year.
He's not on the list.
He's had a bad year, actually, by his standards.
Not on the list. So you have Michael Thomas, Chris Godwin, 1-2 so far.
Adam Thielen.
No. By the way, it looks like he will not be playing.
He's not
Sunday.
Playing again this weekend.
Yeah.
Tyler Lockett.
No. Nope. Again, most catches.
Cooper Kupp.
Most catches without a drop. I should say this. Let me. It doesn't have to necessarily be a wide receiver. Just so most catches without a drop.
Oh, running backs are in here. Okay, yep. Christian McCaffrey.
He is tied for seventh.
He doesn't drop the ball.
No, he does
48.
Not.
48. Tied for seventh.
Are there any other running backs on that list?
Yes. That's all I'm going to say.
Running backs.
Saquon.
No.
Alvin Kamara.
No.
Ooh.
I'll get through that. All right. So tied with Christian McCaffrey.
Dalvin Cook.
No.
Ooh, good guess.
Good guess,
I like
though.
That.
Jameis Crowder is tied. Jamison Crowder tied with McCaffrey with 48. They're tied for seventh. With 48. Number six at 50. I'll give you a hint. Big hint. Savvy veteran wide receiver.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Yes.
Number six with 50. Number five with 53. Very good wide receiver.
Give me a division.
No.
No?
Too easy.
Give me a conference.
NFC. Oh, I'm sorry, AFC.
A very good...
AFC South.
AFC South.
T.Y. Hilton.
No.
Will Fuller.
No.
No, he drops everything. Shark.
53. Think about it. State of Florida team.
Yeah, Shark. D.D. Westbrook.
Mm-mm.
What the hell are the wide receivers on the Jags? Shark, there's D.D. Westbrook. I don't know.
I'm going to have to give up on that.
Yeah.
Who is it? Tell me!
You know this.
I don't.
Well, then just say it.
Then tell me. Go ahead, maybe.
I'm make sure. Did I have a brain cramp here?
Oh, he had a brain cramp.
This really ruins the list.
Oh, no.
It's not accurate.
Yeah, well, I had a brain cramp.
Oh, no.
No, sorry. I'm sorry. My bad.
Who'd you screw up?
Allen Robinson. I don't know why I'm thinking. Allen Robinson. That's all right. We got others.
Is Tyler Lockett on the list?
No, he's
I already
not.
Said that.
Allen Robinson is fifth. Number four, 56.
Zamari
Utah.
Cooper.
Utah.
Austin Hooper.
Oh, tight end for the Falcons.
He's having an excellent season.
He's not playing this weekend, I don't think.
Nope.
Leg injury, yeah.
And the last one, number three with 57, is indeed a running back.
Running back.
Mm-hmm.
Derrick Henry.
No, he doesn't catch the ball.
I know.
You just panicked right there. That's all you did. You panicked. See, I'm liable to go
Nick Chubb
on a team like the Chiefs, but the problem is the Chiefs have had like a carousel of running backs this year. So I don't think one in particular would do it unless it's Damian Williams.
Chris Carson.
No.
San Francisco, what's his name? Am I right?
No.
Okay, I don't know.
You're only close with the Chiefs because of the team that they're playing in Mexico on Monday night.
The Chargers, so Austin Ekeler.
Yes.
Oh!
Yes.
All right, is that a complete list?
Yeah.
That's a complete list, yep. Michael Thomas with 86, Chris Godwin with 60, Austin Ekeler with 57, Austin Hooper 56, Allen Robinson 53, Larry Fitzgerald with 50, and Jamison Crowder, Christian McCaffrey tied for 7th at 48. It's a good list.
I like that.
Yeah,
that
without a
exercise.
Drop. Catches without a drop.
Yeah, very good.
Cool.
All right, that'll just about do it.
Not yet. I wish.
Something else to watch for in tonight's game. Baker Mayfield decided that he needed to educate Browns fans that they need to be quiet.
And he's right. And he is right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the way he comes across, right? It's the way it's been.
No, it's not the way he comes across. It's the way you, Pete Shepard, interpret him coming across.
No,
it's absolutely fair.
I got no
for
problem
a
with
home
him,
quarterback this. Saying fans.
I said it.
You
He's
guys,
right.
No, but now you go. It's the way he said it. Get out of here with that. That's just that's your
it's
personal
same
bias.
With Roger Goodell earlier today. Roger Goodell did what he asked him to do, but it wasn't good enough.
Let me clarify. I got no problem with the way you said it for this particular instance. I'm saying I think other people are going to get on. If they're if they're mad at him for this, then they got their own issues because you shouldn't be mad. You should shut up. Since your team can't score in the red zone, so he's blaming it. What? How many possessions? Like 8 possessions?
Oh, here you go.
Inside the 2, and he can't score.
You've talked yourself here into hating Baker Mayfield on a statement where you just said 30 seconds ago, I'm fine with it.
No, but I'm saying maybe he wouldn't be so cranky about it if he actually scored in the red zone. But they can't score.
Well, they can't hear. They had a false start.
That's right.
Because the dog pound was too loud.
True words have never been spoken.
Well, coming out of my mouth. I mean, that's
that's a rarity in this hour.
No, it is not.
In this hour.
5 o'clock hot take.
Oh, gosh.
By the way, I'm taking the Steelers.
Yes.
Don't take my pick of the night.
36
by the way, back
one.
To a pick of the night.
It's not a stone cold lock anymore?
Nope. Nope. The Toledo. Unbelievable.
Well, I split because I had Miami of Ohio. They dominated.
Yes, they did.
Fisherman Nat with a text. How is it dark right now? And I'm still listening to you guys. There's this thing called daylight savings time.
No, it and sucks. Fisherman Nat,
daylight savings time expires, and then we go back to standard time. And when we went back to standard time, then the sun was already down.
Actually.
And plus it goes down a minute earlier and every minute,
every day. I believe
anyway.
You got that backwards. I believe we're now on standard time.
That's what I said. I said we're now on standard time. I said daylight savings time expired. We're now on daylight standard.
If we're dark on Monday.
Huh?
If it was dark on Monday and Thursday. By the way, I'll give you a nice little this is a little freebie from me, so you can thank me later.
Oh, is this your college hoops pick
my
of the
college
night?
Hoops pick of the week. I might even make it a pick of the
Don't
month.
Don't pick against Northwestern.
Richmond -6 versus Vandy tonight. Go with the Spiders.
Famous alum from Richmond?
Basketball or football?
Well, I
they
guess
got a pretty good football team,
I guess
too.
It's football.
Oh.
Todd McShay.
Oh, yeah.
Richmond Spider.
How famous?
Todd McShay?
Yeah.
Chris,
with our audience? Pretty famous.
Okay.
You weren't born yet, but the Richmond Spiders was at 1990 or 91, first 15 seed to beat a 2, Syracuse.
I was born. Well, I was born in 91. I was born at the end of 90. So if it happened in 90, wasn't around for that one.
90 or 91, forget.
I also have a bad taste in my mouth regarding the Richmond Spiders.
Why?
After the Hoosiers
they beat IU or something.
Won the championship in 80. I get all my championships mixed up. 87.
They're so long ago.
Then the first round in 88, Dick Terrence, Richmond Spiders knocked us out.
They're a good team. They always have a solid program. Richmond's always solid. Solid.
Yeah, UNC doesn't get upset.
Yeah, you do.
It happened one time in my life.
What, to Wofford? Remember, that wasn't too long ago either.
No.
Remember that?
No, I was talking tournament. I was talking tournament.
Oh, that's Wofford. Was one of the worst losses like Kentucky the other night against
about?
Evansville.
Wofford was a hell of a team.
No, I'm talking about point spread-wise, though. They were like, Carolina was like
just
18.
Because they got the game wrong doesn't mean that,
you should never lose a Southern Conference
You know what? Beat a team from the state of Indiana, then come talk.
Which team are we criticizing me for?
I don't know.
Evansville.
IUPUI.
Evansville's better.
Evansville's much better.
From Indiana.
Purdue?
No, the Tar Heels, the only first-round upset that I can remember for the Tar Heels, first-round upset. I don't consider like a 4 beating a 1 in a Sweet 16 a massive upset. Mm-hmm. But was it Holy Cross?
Mm-hmm.
I believe Holy Cross beat them. It was Weber State. It was
Weber
State.
Yeah.
It was and it was a West Coast game.
I remember that.
And I was like 8 or 9
right.
years old and woke up the next morning and my mom told me that the Tar Heels had lost and your boy cried. I cried. I was invested in that team. It might have been before 98.
Just a Stanford
to be honest
in the first
with you.
How old were you?
Oh, I was 7, 8. I mean, I was a youngin'. Here, hold on.
What? Right, I'll look it up. That reminds me of the story when I was a kid. I was 8 years old. Election night.
Mm-hmm.
99. Yeah. Oh. 99. I was 8 years old at the time.
I remember my mom came in, woke me up, told me that Jimmy Carter had beaten Gerald Ford. And I kind of liked Gerald Ford,
yeah.
Even though I was eight.
Even though we stumbled around and fell down the stairs.
I tell you, I wept.
That was one of two sporting
events. Cried as a young over presidential election.
It's the same as Chris's story. Why is it bad when I do it?
How much about politics at nine did you know?
Quite a bit, actually. I was like Alex P. Keaton.
Only other sporting event that I cried at the outcome of was, for whatever reason, I was a big Brett Favre fan.
Really? That makes no sense.
It makes no sense at all, right?
Yeah.
No sense at all, but cried when the Broncos beat him.
Yeah.
That was, what, 97?
Yeah.
Troll number two, Chris is an Alabama football fan and a North Carolina basketball fan. What a bandwagoner.
Troll number two, I'm just ready to block your ass, dude. You're so bleeping annoying.
Because it's not that. It's the same.
Did troll number two hit a nerve or what?
No, he's just a bleep hole, man.
No, he's
done talking to this guy.
He's one of our listeners.
You're
coming to our texter party on December 23rd.
He's not invited. Absolutely not.
I'm inviting him.
You're cordially uninvited.
I am inviting him.
Troll.
It's more that somebody once again has not heard your story for the last 3 years.
Okay, let me lay it out again because I haven't said this on air enough times. I went to Alabama. I did not graduate from Alabama. I went to Alabama. If I were to categorize myself, I would categorize myself as a very rational, middle of the road Alabama football fan. My entire family.
That's bull.
For an Alabama fan, I'm very rational.
Rational middle of the road?
I was having a conversation with you guys off air about how I don't think Alabama should get into the college football playoff this year.
And you didn't believe the words.
I absolutely believe the words. But my entire family is from the state of North Carolina. I have grown up a North Carolina basketball fan from as young as I can remember. I have been a UNC basketball fan. Mm-hmm. My first video game console, first game I ever had, college basketball. You know what I did? Yeah. I played UNC against UNC because I just needed to see both uniforms because they were so beautiful.
You know, if you had any sack, you would have been a North Carolina State fan instead.
Yeah. Nah.
Anybody could be a Tar Heel fan.
Dumpster fire, man. A man named Billy Curley begs to differ on upsetting North Carolina. I remember that Boston College team was real good. Not only did they beat North Carolina and Indiana back-to-back games in the tournament. I can't remember if it was Indiana first or North Carolina.
All right, Troll 2, I'll block you. Done.
That's no fun.
No, you're going to say block me and then call me that? Absolutely not. Mm. You're done.
Wow, come on. But I like the reaction I just got out of you. That was great radio. Keep him on there. Unblock him.
No, he's blocked.
Come
he's
on.
Done.
You don't have to react to everybody on the text line.
Yeah, well.
I do when you've got a stupid name like Troll Number Two.
Wow.
Troll Number Two, we hardly knew you.
Well, it was good while it lasted.
Damn.
I'm upset now. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, I need to paint something. It's what you got. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. I'm so bummed.
Time for those parting shots. It's what you got with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Now, it's Sheeman and Shepherd.
What you got is brought to you by Twin Peaks. Head on down there and watch some Thursday night football. Steelers and Browns. Get yourself some dinner, some snacks, some great food, drinks. Twin Peaks eats drinks and scenic views. On this day in history, 1943, Sid Luckman, the greatest Chicago Bears quarterback of all time, threw for 7 touchdowns against the New York Giants. They won 56-7.
Trubisky's thrown for 6.
It's not as many as 7, is it? 1969, Apollo 12 launched. How about that? Let's see here. 1851, Moby Dick makes its debut in the United States.
No, Bill.
How about that? Happy birthday, Condoleezza Rice, 1954. And also Prince Charles, 1948. Who knew?
Chuck.
Oh, hey, Kurt Schilling, 1966. Born in Anchorage, Alaska.
Yes, he was.
Friend of the program.
Yep.
And sad news, on this day in 1970, the Marshall football team, their airplane crashed. Of course, they made a movie out of it, and big-time tragedy. They were they on the way. They finished a game against East Carolina at that point, and plane went down in 1970.
Mm. Let's get that school right.
Yeah, East Carolina.
There you go.
Purple and gold.
And black. They're working a lot of black into the logo.
All right, Pete Shepard, what you got?
All right. Well, update our poll at our Twin Peaks Twitter poll at 99.3 ESPN Radio. Are you 100% convinced with Colin Kaepernick workout will take place on Saturday? Yes or no? 73% no. Got it with you. And again, the NFL released a statement today. 11 of the 32 teams, and this is the NFL's words, not mine, quote, but it's only Thursday.
Well, you added the but.
No, I actually think that's in there. Let me.
Thought it was, it's only Thursday.
I think it's happening. But
I do too.
Yeah. More than likely, but.
But three-fourths of our audience does not.
Yeah. Smart.
All right. Chris, Stone Cold. Stone
Cold pick of the night. Year to date. When I say year to date, I mean football season to date. 8-10. Gave you a loser last night. Not going to throw anybody else under the bus there for giving me said loser, but tonight we'll go back to football. I didn't throw anybody under the bus. I'm shouldering it.
I just said Pete's name.
Remember, I said I'd take Miami of Ohio, too, to even it out. Make sure you get both games equally.
I did that one as well, but I gave everybody the loser. But anyway, we're going to get back on the wagon tonight because you can't win unless you play. Going to take the 3 points with the Steelers in Cleveland tonight. Little sprinkle action on the money line.
All right.
I'm sorry, I used the wrong conjunction. 11 teams have already committed to a 10. Not but, and it's only
and
Thursday.
It's only Thursday.
Conjunction, junction. What's that function?
All right. Sounds fantastic. Mm-hmm. All right. That'll do it. Chris, what's her status? He says go home. For Chris, for Pete Shepard, I'm Craig Sheehan.
Get your big butt out of here.
I'm always right. God bless America.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.